Father, we just pray that you will enable this message that you've given her to be preached, to be spoken. Lord, just empower these vocal cords to work properly in Jesus' name.
So, like you can hear, I do have a bit of a problem with my voice, but that's okay. I'm all mic'd up. It'll last about 20 minutes, so that's good, eh? Sort of limits your sermon. So I had a camera shoved down my nose and thought, it's very cool being able to look inside yourself. So, basically, your vocal cords are supposed to do that. Mine don't, because of COVID. It weakened all of that, and they don't. Now, there is something they can do. They can shove filler in. You know, like the stuff you get to get your lips done? Yeah, and other places. Okay, they can do that. But I was like, shall we just give it a month and see if it gets better by itself, eh? So we're going to go for that, because, you know, if not, that's my next step. So we have got a way forward, but in the meantime it means you have to put up with this. Okay, can you cope? Okay. Listen guys, before I preach, I'm very aware of the fact that we've just had a major decision come out of the United States over Roe versus Wade and the abortion law. Okay, and I just want to address something to you about that. Because what's going to happen, it's going to bring the whole topic of women's rights to choose abortions and pro-life right back squarely in the forefront of all of our discussion. And as many of you know, I've been doing research on how we as churches, Baptist churches, talk with people that we disagree with, okay? And one of the most interesting things from the research that I found, so let's take this out of the moment. I'm not going to talk about abortion right now. Let's talk about the plebiscite, okay? Do you remember how horrid that was when people had conversations? Or have you put it out of your mind? No. You're going to have to answer, or it's going to be a really long sermon. Do you remember it? Okay. Thank you. It was bad, okay? So what I want to say to you is one of the interesting things is when people talk to you as a Christian, as the church, you represent the church, they are actually not looking for your opinion. You have no idea why that person is speaking to you about this issue, all right? You do not know where they're coming from. And a lot of the time, people are coming from an issue of either they have maybe had an abortion or they haven't been able to have a kid. There is a pastoral need there, okay? So before you go, please hear me in the right way, but before you go marching in with your size 10s and tell them what you're pro or against or anything else, stop and listen and find out why that person is talking to you about this issue. Okay? Because for all you know, they could be coming to you to find out if they are still acceptable to you, the church, if they've had an abortion. You have no idea why people are talking to you about the issue. So don't talk about the issue. Talk to the person. That's really good advice, isn't it? And if we had done that in the plebiscite, we could have stopped a whole lot of that bad conversation. If we had just turned around and said, I can really hear you want to talk about this. Why is this so important to you? What is it? Okay? And you have to get past people's anger and everything else. So I know I've used up 5 minutes of my voice, but I feel like that's worth it, hey? Yeah? And if you've got any questions, again, you can come and ask that, and I'll whisper the answers. So, okay, so today I'm going to talk about the way that we picture or imagine Holy Spirit and a couple of ways that we picture and Holy Spirit wrong or incorrectly, and why it is vital in this season that we get our picture of Holy Spirit right. But basically, what Ross, the songs that we sang and what Ross said, what he said. So if I don't get to the end, what he said. And if you don't understand, go and ask him. Because it was like, he preached my message. He even picked the songs that I've been singing over the weekend. Don't you love it when God does that? Oh, yeah, I do. Anyway, all right, bear with me, because I need you to close your eyes or to bow your head, whatever you need to do to get so you don't get distracted. So go on, do it. Well done. Yes. And I want you right now to picture Holy Spirit. Maybe think about verses that you know from the Bible that speak about Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit like? I'll give you just 30 seconds to think about it. All right, it wasn't 30 seconds, but I haven't got long. Do you want to look up? Okay. Tongues of fire. What else? Wind. Power. Constant companion. Pardon? The fruits of the Spirit, which are? Did you hear that? Good on you. It's up on the slide, so... Mm-hmm.
Presence, wisdom, voice.
Yep. Have a look at this. Okay, these are the pictures from the New Testament and New Testament news. So from the New Testament, we get pictures of the Holy Spirit of a dove and wind and fire and streams of living water. Do any of you get those ones? Hello, church.
Yeah.
I'm back. Do you remember me? I'm the one who makes you answer. So I'm horrid, aren't I? Okay. What about Old Testament pictures? Here you go. Before that, did I miss any New Testament pictures? No, I don't think so either. Old Testament pictures of Holy Spirit. They're a little bit more difficult to imagine because Holy Spirit is described as the breath of God. So when you read the Spirit of the Lord, it's actually the breath of the Lord in the Old Testament. So because Spirit means breath. So it's kind of difficult to imagine. And wisdom is also known as, Holy Spirit is also known as wisdom in the Old Testament. So wisdom calls from a house that she has built in Proverbs 9, and she offers food and wine even to those who have no sense. Isn't that just a great picture of our God? Okay, so when you read about the wisdom, that's the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit. Did anyone have a different picture from those? You're right when you say, though, that the Holy Spirit is often described in action words, because in John 14 that we heard today, this morning, Jesus describes Holy Spirit as our advocate. And the trouble with advocate is it's a massive, great, big word that's got lots of different meanings. So advocate or comforter or helper. Jesus describes the Spirit as the Spirit of truth, who guides us in all truth, as the one who glorifies Jesus and reminds us of Jesus' teaching. He convicts us of sin and what's right, because he can search out the deep things within us in exactly the same way as he searches out the depths of God, and he reveals the depths of God within the Trinity, but he also reveals the depths of God to us. So Holy Spirit is our helper in our weaknesses. He helps us to pray. That's a lot of action words, isn't it, for the Spirit of God? So we know, like you said, there's the fruits of the Spirit, okay? And so he enables us to be patient and long-suffering and kind and gentle. But he enables us to be like that because he is like that, yeah? He is love, he is gentle, he is peace, he is kindness, he is good, he is faithful, he is self-controlled. I know I've missed some, but you get it, he's gentle, yeah? He is like that, and because he's like that, he fills us and he enables us to be like that. But it's because that is what your God is like. That is what Holy Spirit is like. So we know Holy Spirit, what he's like, by his actions. But the problem with all of our pictures is that these metaphors of dove and fire and breath and wisdom is that it can stop you seeing Holy Spirit as a person. I don't mean like a human person, like Jesus, but personhood. Holy Spirit is an individual within a God who is three in one. Yeah, I love the Celtic cross, this idea that God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and everything is equal. Yeah, that this one here, where you've got this great big hand of the Father and a smaller Jesus and then a tiny goodness knows. Is that a ghost? Yeah? Honestly, our pictures of Holy Spirit and our pictures of the Godhead can get really warped. Because the trouble with the wind or fire or even doves is they appear and then they disappear. Yeah? And they have this way of painting this ethereal, vapory picture of Holy Spirit that hides his personhood. It isn't Father, Son, and vapory, ethereal, ghost thing. And the Holy Spirit is not the last in the Godhead. It's not hierarchy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or in Baptist churches, God help us, what are we known for? Do you know? Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Now, that's a bit unkind. But the trouble with jokes is there's always that little element of truth, isn't there? Yeah? So we need to make sure that in our picture, we're picturing God. We're picturing Holy Spirit as God. It's three in one. Each equal, each submitting, each placing the way the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, just keep honouring one another and placing it one another as the highest. It's like this, what we call the dance of the Trinity. Always this thing of submitting and honouring and equal. There is no, and we've got no idea what that's like because we live in a world of power and we don't know what it is like to live in relationship with no power. But within the Trinity, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who are God. What about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How does the gifts of the Holy Spirit add to our picture? So we're beginning to see that Holy Spirit is a person, and we can tell what he's like by his actions and what his priorities are. We can see how he interacts with us. But what about the gifts? What does that tell us? Well, in 1 Corinthians, it talks about the manifestations of the Spirit working for the profit of all. So manifestations means easily seen. So Holy Spirit is easily seen when he works through a person and everyone benefits from it. I think one of the places that we go wrong in our picture of Holy Spirit is that we think that the gifts of the Spirit are for us. Yeah? It's all about me, Jesus, and all this is for me. Do you remember that chorus? Maybe if I sang it in tune, you would. It's all about me, Lord, and that's not the place. That's not what Holy Spirit is doing. Okay, when he comes and he brings the gifts, it's for you all. And if you have no idea what you all is about, you need to see Stephen's message from last week, because then you know what I'm talking about. Everyone benefits from the easily seen gifts of the Holy Spirit, the outworking of the Holy Spirit. So what's the work of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's all of those lists behind me. He heals and he administrates and he brings new ideas or discernment, which he shares with us. There's a whole list. But that's the work. But the question is, why does the Holy Spirit work? What does it tell us about Holy Spirit that he works in his creation? What does it tell us about him, okay, that he chooses to outwork through you? She's all sitting there thinking, oh no, now I'm responsible. Yep. What does it tell you about Holy Spirit? What's his purpose? What's his goal? If you look at the manifestations of Holy Spirit, everything he does, all the gifts that he gives, it's to build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven right now. Okay? So he comes and he brings a gift of healing. Why? Because in heaven, there'll be no more sickness. He comes and he brings a revelation of who God is. Why? Because when we're in heaven, you know we're not, I don't believe in heaven like that, but we're in the new creation. We're in that new place of the new heaven and new earth. Where's the throne of God? Right in the center of people's lives that everyone can see and everyone can know. Already, if you start looking at these pictures that I'm building, that the Bible is building of Holy Spirit, you will begin to answer the third question on why we need a correct picture of Holy Spirit. If you don't picture Holy Spirit as God being here to build the kingdom of God, then that's got to have an impact on how you live your life. Think it through, right? Holy Spirit comes, he baptizes you, which we'll look at scripture so you know I'm not making it up, but it is a true story. He comes, he fills you, he baptizes you and he empowers you, right? But if in your picture, the Holy Spirit came so he could make it heal you, work out your life, all of that. It's a comforting thought. But if your picture of Holy Spirit is he comes to fill you so that he can build the kingdom of God here and now, well, that's a totally different picture, isn't it? Don't you think? That's got to have an impact on how you live. So in our picture of Holy Spirit, we need to allow our minds to incorporate first a picture of Holy Spirit who is not last in the Godhead, but who is equal. We need to incorporate Holy Spirit as divine person, not a vapor who appears and disappears, but the Spirit of God who is deeply invested in humanity. We need to picture Holy Spirit as the person, as the power of the Spirit behind the actions. Holy Spirit is kind and he is good and his commitment and love is equal to Jesus because God was crucified on that cross and Holy Spirit was there. Holy Spirit is actively and tirelessly working in his creation to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Did you hear the word? His creation. Why is it Holy Spirit's creation? Who was the one who breathed life into Adam, into humanity? The breath of God. Yeah? This is Holy Spirit's creation and his absolute commitment. His commitment. Where's your... Can you not begin to feel it? So this is his commitment to build the kingdom of God here on earth. And he's filled you. It's got to have an impact on how we live. Yeah? Can I just say, we often allow times in our worship where we just, either the musicians will play or they'll repeat a phrase or they'll just give us some space. The whole reason for that is not so that you can switch off, okay? The whole reason for that is to give you time to think about what your picture of God is. Maybe some of the songs that we were singing trigger a thought and you think, I need to think about that. But if you don't, use that time. Think about God the Father. What is my picture of God the Father? Is it this 2D flat image where I've got like one or two ideas? Think of your picture of Jesus the Son. What is your picture? And then think about your picture of Holy Spirit. And use that time and think through who your God is, and allow your picture to change from a 2D picture of a dove into the 3D picture of like a God who's so much more than we could ever ask or think or imagine. So that's why we give you time to use that time to either think back over what you've been singing, to pray those things, or to use that time for those pictures. So why is this picture and knowledge of Holy Spirit important to us in this season? Still with me? Okay. Thanks, Neville. See, I've already told you. Your picture of Holy Spirit influences how you are living right now, right this second, when you get up tomorrow morning, and you go to school, you go to work, or you look at the fuel gauge, or whatever it is that you are doing. That power of God is there to influence how you're living right now. And if Holy Spirit is floating in and out of your life, being a needs-based helper, then like I said, that's a nice, comfortable thought for you. But if your picture of Holy Spirit as God working to perpetuate, which, you know, set in motion and keep the motion going, the kingdom of God on earth right now as it is in heaven, well, that's a very different picture. And if Holy Spirit is our helper, what is he helping us to do? Like, if you ever stop and think, that make that one of your pictures. Holy Spirit, you're here to be my helper. Why? So I can have a nice life. No, it has to be that we are building the kingdom of God with him because he chose to use us. God knows why, but he did. He chose to work through us. If Holy Spirit is our helper, what is he helping us to do? Well, Ephesians 1 verses 4 and 5 have the answer. God chose us in him before the world was made. He foreordained us for himself to be adopted through Jesus the King. That's how he wanted it, and that's what gave him delight. Now look, there are various teachings on this verse. I'm not going to go into it. But as Tom Wright says, the point of this verse is that we aren't chosen for our sake, but for the sake of what God wants to accomplish through us. He foreordained us for him. He chose you before the foundation of the world. Why? Because he wants to accomplish something through you. He wants to use you to accomplish something. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And he chose you before the foundation of the world to get it done. And you all say, God help us. Oh, that's right. Holy Spirit is our helper. What is the Holy Spirit helping us to do? He's helping us to see God's will done on earth. Ephesians 1 goes on to say that we were given Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance. I read that from verse 13. And Paul, who wrote this prayer, says, I pray that you know the riches of his glorious inheritance. Holy Spirit is giving you a foretaste of the riches of your inheritance. What does that mean? Think it through. What does it mean? Well, you have the privilege of living with an advanced showing of the glories of heaven. Right? Yep. So right now, all the glories of heaven, yeah? You get an advanced showing of what that is. Or God is a liar. Exactly. You are in the privileged position of getting a taster of what is still to come, a glimpse of the new heaven and the new earth before Jesus returns, and every eye and heart and mind and ear will hear and see and know that Jesus Christ is Lord, you get a glimpse of the new heaven and new earth. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers today. Through the Spirit's work, we have already begun to participate in the reality of living in God's kingdom. You live in the kingdom of God now, right now, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because Holy Spirit, He's baptized you, He's filled you, He's called you by name. Father God chose to give you a piece of His inheritance. Father God chose to give a piece of the inheritance that's still so much more to come. But He chose to give a piece of that inheritance to His children before it fully arrives. Now, having said all of that, go back to your original picture of Holy Spirit and compare your picture with Holy Spirit's picture of Himself and be honest, like, did you picture all of that? There's so much more, isn't there? Hey? This era that you and I live in right now, it's got a name. Did you know? This is called the Age of the Spirit. God creating all things new. God creating all things new doesn't start with the last trumpet and the end of time. Okay? That's not true. That's not what the scripture says. The new creation started at Pentecost when the power of Holy Spirit, by the power of Holy Spirit, I should say, at Pentecost, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God created a new humanity. That's you. You are a people who are adopted to His name. You are the new creation. Why? Because you've been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? A people who will live with God because He's filled them and baptized them with His very Spirit, His very presence. A new creation that starts now and lives forever. I'm not waiting for the last trumpet, are you? Thank you. Guys, if I can find a voice, so can you. Excuse me. The new creation starts at our conversion. But that's not the end. We don't say a sinner's prayer or have a moment where we think Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Saviour. That is not the end, okay? That's simply a signal of the new beginnings. You're part now of this new humanity through the impartation of Holy Spirit in your life. The Spirit's presence and the work in our life is God's great sign to everyone out there who is watching that His work of recreation has begun here and now. He starts recreating a new creation in you, and everyone's watching and they see it and they see God at work in you. However, even that is not our end, is it? Hey? We've got a deposit, just a deposit, that's guaranteeing our inheritance, the riches of our inheritance. It's just a start. The rest of our inheritance, that's still to come. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, Creator, You chose us before the foundation of the world. You adopted us, not for our sake, but to accomplish your good will and purpose through us. We thank you that we have been included in Christ and marked, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us the revelation of the riches of our inglorious inheritance. Thank you for the tasters that we get of the new heaven and the new earth. We are new creations in Christ, and in response to that, we want to live for Jesus and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us, that our picture of God might increase and our flat picture of the God that we serve will change, as our as will our inclination to use Holy Spirit as solely being for my needs. Holy Spirit, help her. Use us to see God's kingdom and God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. And all God's new creation, new humanity, all God's adopted sons and daughters said, amen. Amen. Why don't you stand and I'll pray a blessing over us, yeah? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's shalom to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And it's gone. <Enjoy. laughs>